Thanks, Sarah. And oh, wow, there's a lot of you guys here. Hi. Thanks so much for coming today. So I'm going to be presenting results of the aforementioned evaluation of the New York City Health Bucks program today. No disclosures, and I want to briefly flash my many co-authors. This is a large study with a lot of folks, lots of moving parts. I want to make sure to get their names up there. So I'm sure that all of you sort of have a sense of the problem of obesity at a national level, but I wanted to provide a little bit of context for you who may be a little bit less familiar with New York City. So these two maps show their data from the 2004 Community Health Survey, showing the percentage of New Yorkers who did not eat fruits or vegetables on the previous day, and the percent on the right-hand side of New York City residents who are obese. So the darker red portions of the map on the left side, that's a higher proportion who didn't eat fruits and vegetables on the day before, and on the right-hand side, higher obesity prevalence is in the darker red. So there are a couple of things to notice about this map. First, there are a lot of different colors here. This is a pretty diverse geographic distribution of outcomes in New York City. And the other thing to notice is that the red spots are kind of in the same place. So there's this geographic correlation between fruit and vegetable consumption and obesity prevalence. And if you look at other health outcomes in these neighborhoods, cardiovascular disease, stroke, other items, you actually see very similar patterns. So the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene was concerned about the evidence of disparities in these neighborhoods, and they therefore established three district public health offices. The locations are shown here with the blue stars on the left-hand side map that are sort of located geographically in the places where disparities seem to be the greatest. And the mission of the DPHO is to reduce or eliminate health disparities in these neighborhoods. So we're going to be focusing today on one program, the New York City Health Bucks Initiative. It's administered by the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene through the DPHOs, as well as in collaboration with the Farmers Market Federation of New York. So what is this program? It distributes coupons good for the purchase of fresh fruits and vegetables at participating farmers markets in the three DPHO areas primarily. Sorry. And you can see down here, this is a picture of a $2 Health Bucks coupon. The coupons are distributed in two ways. First, as a SNAP incentive at the market. So for every $5 you spend in your SNAP benefits at the farmer's market, you get a $2 coupon back. And that's an unlimited benefit. As much as you spend, every $5, you get $2 back that you can then spend right there, and only good for the purchase of fresh fruits and vegetables. In addition, in order to reach those residents in these neighborhoods who may not already be at the farmer's markets, Health Bucks are distributed through community-based organizations to their clients. The community-based organizations are focused in the geographic locations where the DPHOs are located. So the program began in 2005 as a pilot in the South Bronx and was expanded to all three of the DPHO areas in 2006. Just to give you a sense of the sort of scope or scale of the program, there were about 140,000 Health Bucks coupons distributed in 2010, the most recent year for which we had data when we did the evaluation. And you can do the math in your head, that's about $280,000 worth of Health Bucks distributed. So pretty large scale program. So here's where I come in. In 2009, CDC contracted my organization, Apt Associates, to conduct an evaluation of the Health Bucks program. We used a mixed methods design based on the CDC framework for program evaluation in public health. And there were two broad components. A process evaluation, which was intended to inform replication efforts by telling us a little bit more about implementation of the program, and an outcome evaluation to assess impact. And I'll talk a little bit more about the outcomes we looked at in a couple of slides. So we started by working with our colleagues at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene and the DPHOs to develop, and I know you can't read this, a very complicated logic model that describes the operation and the outcomes, intended outcomes of the program. So the process evaluation component focused on things in these boxes on the left-hand side. The outcome evaluation clearly focused on the outcomes on the right-hand side box. So I wanted to flash this up here, so if you get a chance to access this later on, you can see what's in all of the boxes. So again, we looked at outcomes both at the community systems level and at the individual level here. And as you can see, with such a complicated logic model, we also did a lot of different types of data collection for this study. Now, my goal here is going to be to give you a kind of preliminary flavor of everything that we did. So I'm not going to go into great detail on the methods that we used for all of these, but I'm just going to run down sort of the list of what we looked at. So for data collection, in terms of community and systems outcomes, i.e., can this program get markets into these underserved areas of New York City, and can they get farmers into those markets to sell their produce and maybe a greater variety or quality of their produce? So we looked at administrative data on the Health Bucks program itself and on New York City farmers markets that we got from the program implementers. We had interviews with the program operators themselves. We did a web survey of the community-based organizations that were involved in distributing Health Bucks. And then we did several on-site activities, including a survey of farmers market managers, who are the ones who actually take the EBT cards, swipe them, and distribute the Health Bucks at the market, as well as the farmers and vendors who sell their produce at the farmers markets to get a sense of their opinions and the motivations for selling at particular farmers markets. Lastly, while at the market, we did do observational assessments to get an understanding of what's for sale at the markets and also the environment around the market. At the individual level, as part of that same on-site data collection where we talked to the market managers and the vendors, we also spoke to farmers market shoppers. So we did point-of-purchase surveys with, I think the final sample was about 2,000 shoppers in 90 farmers markets across New York City, both those with the Health Bucks program and those without. And we also did focus groups with consumers from each of the three DPHO areas. That got us in the markets. We also wanted to know sort of what was happening in the neighborhoods. So we did a survey of approximately 1,000 DPHO neighborhood residents by telephone, a third in each of the DPHO areas, so that we could get a sense of program reach. And then finally, and I won't be focusing on these results today, we also had data from the New York City Community Health Survey, which allows us to look pre and post at fruit and vegetable intake in these neighborhoods, both in the neighborhoods where Health Bucks operated and where it did not. So a nice basis for causal inference. So I'm leaping right into the results because I want to make sure that I have time to talk to you about the details of these. So starting sort of on the community side, again, the sort of research questions here are, can Health Bucks get farmers and markets into these neighborhoods? So the first step there is getting them to participating in the program. You can't participate in the program if you're not in the neighborhood, so you can draw some inference there. And the answer to that was clearly a resounding yes. From 2006, the first year in which the program operated in all three DPHO areas, we had about 29 farmers, 29 markets participating in the program. Over time, till 2010, that approximately doubled the number of participating markets. That's about 60 at the end of the lower blue line there, and about 81 participating farmers. So we've seen a major expansion in the number of farmers and markets participating in this program over time. At the same time, we've seen a major expansion in issuance and redemption of Health Bucks over time. So again, in 2006, there were about 9,000 Health Bucks issued across all three DPHO areas, and about 3,600 redeemed. Fast forward to 2010, and as I showed you on the first slide, we're talking about 140,000 coupons distributed, about 116,000 of which were redeemed. So if you guys are all sitting there with your calculators, you may also know that that represents a higher redemption rate in 2010. So over time, it's not just that issuance is going up and redemption is going up, but more of the coupons that are being handed out are actually being used. This is largely attributable to the introduction of the SNAP incentive component of the program. So in 2008, which is the year that was first introduced, again, when they hand you your coupon right at the farmers markets, you're much more likely to cash it in right away. So that's the major explanation for the boost in redemption rates over time. In addition, they have done other sorts of promotional activities. Some of the community-based organizations are doing organized field trips to the farmers markets. So it's also true that redemption rates for the community-based organization distributed Health Bucks are going up. So there's a couple of things going on here. Again, are is this program getting farmers and vendors into the market? So we asked them, and we had one farmer who told us during our interview. Let me see if I can get the quote. said, if I don't collect health bucks, I'm not going to sell my produce. It's a way to sell more. And that was very reflective of all of the responses that we got from the farmers and vendors that we spoke to in survey. In general, they felt that health bucks and programs like health bucks and also SNAP incentives were really critical to their ability to sell in these areas. So about 75% of the farmers and vendors on our survey of about 140 farmers and vendors operating, again, this is at 90 markets where we did our surveys, they said that they made more money at the market. 74% said new customers shopped more often at their stand or their stall. 72% that they sell more fresh fruits and vegetables. 70% that they had more repeat customers, and 57% that their customers bought more new or unfamiliar foods. So we asked about a lot of other things as well, and as you can imagine, the final report is this massive tome, so there's a lot more here than what's on this slide, but I won't go into it all now. The other thing that they told us was we asked them about a variety of factors about whether or not it increased, decreased, or didn't make a difference in their decision to sell their produce at a particular market. So the two main factors in the DPHO areas that farmers cited as a factor that increased the likelihood that they would sell their produce at the market were accepting health bucks, which 68% said that they felt that that increased their likelihood of selling at that market. And then 81% said that if the market accepted SNAP or EBT benefits, that increased their likelihood to sell there. So because the two programs sort of work together, you can see there's a nice complementarity of bringing these farmers into these underserved areas. So now, turning to the individual side of the equation. So this is a graph of farmers market shopping frequency among respondents to our telephone survey of neighborhood residents. So along the x-axis here, on the left-hand side, you've got folks who said that they shopped at the farmers market once a week or more, moving to once or twice a month, less than once a month, or over on the right-hand side, those who said that they never shopped at a farmer's market. And I probably should have done the color coding the reverse way, but the darker red is folks who said that they had never heard of the Health Bucks program. The slightly lighter red is they've heard of Health Bucks, whether or not they had actually used them. The darker pink is those who said that they had ever used Health Bucks, and then the lightest pink is folks who said that they had in fact used Health Bucks in the 2010 season, which is when we conducted the phone survey. So what you see is a very clear upward trend by level of exposure to the Health Bucks program in frequency of shopping at the farmers market. So we have about 45% of those who said that they had used Health Bucks in the 2010 season who said that they shopped once or more a week, as compared to just a little over 20% of folks who had never heard of Health Bucks in these neighborhoods. And then on the opposite end of the scale, you see the reverse pattern for the folks who said they never shopped at the farmers market. So then the sort of big question is, does this translate into differences in consumption? And I think some of the prior presentations spoke a little bit about this, so I'm glad that they've got that, because our design was so broadly focused that we collected data maybe not as rigorously on a number of items. But we did have data on just self-reported number of servings on the prior day. So here is a place where we are not actually seeing statistically significant differences. These are the same four categories of Health Bucks exposure here. This is the same data source, our neighborhood resident survey, where those who never heard of Health Bucks, heard of Health Bucks, ever used Health Bucks, or used Health Bucks in 2010. And these are not statistically significant differences across these categories. Self-reported daily fruit and vegetable servings range from about 2.5 to about 2.8 across these groups, and you didn't see a significant pattern here. On the other hand, if you asked people to report on trends over the past year in their fruit and vegetable consumption, you did see some differences there. So those who never heard of Health Bucks, only about 43% of them said that their fruit and vegetable consumption had increased, whereas we were up to 70% for those who said that they had used Health Bucks in the 2010 season. So when we're looking at a point in time, we're still seeing not a lot going on there, but on the other hand, it sounds like the trends are sort of going in the right direction. So I wanted to wrap up by just pointing you towards some sources where you can get more information about what we did. My email address is up here on the slide. You can contact me. I'm the Apps Project Director. For more information about the Health Bucks program itself, you can go to the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene website on the Health Bucks program. The final evaluation report will be available in about spring 2012. And then also, if you need something a little sooner, probably within the next month or so, we will be releasing the HealthBucks Evaluation Toolkit. So this has all of our instruments, all of our data collection tools, and a sort of step-by-step how to run an evaluation of a farmer's market incentive program for those who are implementing these and want to do their own evaluations. So that will be up on the Center of Excellence for Training and Research Translation website. And that is all I've got for today. Thanks. Questions? Thank you.